Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Great to be with you, and so excited that my buddy David Urban stopped by again to kick off the show with me. My man.
Back again.
You went viral yesterday for your comments on CNN. You went viral
which
on Twitter.
One? I don't know which one.
When Gina Raimondo came out, I've got the clip queued up, actually. This is what she said, and then you said this, and the Trump War Room tweeted out the clip of you responding. And I actually had it in my cut sheet. I said, I don't want a clip of Urban saying it on CNN.
I want
him saying it live right here.
I got you right here. I'm here, my friend.
Exactly. So here, this is what Raimondo said last night. Cut 24.
When you hear that, do you potentially think that this new numbers could be a liability for this campaign?
No. When I hear that, first of all, I don't believe it because I've never heard Donald Trump say anything truthful.
It is, though, from the Bureau of Labor.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's her bureau.
Like, well, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. She works. She's the Secretary of Commerce. She's not familiar with the jobs number or maybe the administration. I'm not quite sure. She seems to be like Kamala Harris. She's a part of the administration, but not really a part of the administration, right? Now that Joe Biden is kind of gone on vacation, quote unquote, right? He's gone on vacation. Everybody's running like rats from a sinking ship. It just strains credibility, right, Rich? That she's like, I'm not familiar with that. Everybody, I promise you, everybody in this arena was familiar with those numbers because they suck so bad, right?
Yeah.
Just for your listeners, the Department of Bureau's Labor Statistics yesterday put out the downward estimate. They said, by the way, the past 5 of 6 yearly estimates, they've estimated downward, right? So they've overestimated every year in the Biden administration how many jobs created. So it's like on the front page, they say 500,000 jobs created, hooray. And then a year later, they say, yeah, we got that wrong. We didn't create 500,000 jobs. So they said, basically, they said at some point during this administration, this year, not the whole administration, but just this past year, 23, they've claimed to create 884,000 more jobs than they created. I mean, that's not like by a little mistake. That's 883,000 people who they're saying are working aren't working, which is just mind-boggling. And it's such a bad number. The economists, everyone was like, wow, the upper end was 1 million. That was the worst they'd ever thought it would be. Some people said it was going to be 250,000. It was 885,000 or whatever, close 883. And the fact that she's claiming not to have known it, I promise everybody knows it in this building. Also, along with that report, unemployment's at all-time high for since 2009. 11% of credit card holders are now in default. So the notion that Bidenomics is working is just complete, to use Joe Biden's word, malarkey, right? It's malarkey, yeah. Joe. And interestingly, the candidate here in this arena is trying to run as an outsider. She's conveniently not part of this administration.
She's a tour guide.
She's a tour guide.
Yeah.
I just was on scene. I said, what was she like? Her title, I said, she's Madam Vice President. She's not like a potted plant sitting in the East Wing. She has a title. She's a powerful woman. Now, that means either A, she during the past 3.5 years, she chose to just sit around and do nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Or B, that the Biden administration ignored her. Either case is really bad, right? If they ignored her, they must have thought, well, she doesn't have anything to add. We're just going to ignore her. And if she didn't choose to kind of speak up, well, then shame on her for not using her position. Rich, I know if you or Matt or anybody, right, in Philly had that job, you wouldn't just go sit in the OEOB and kind of drink coffee.
You'd like Veep.
Yeah, she is like Veep. Veep is a documentary.
But your point, though, which is valid, it's either if you were Veep and ostracized to the old executive office building, the Eisenhower executive office building, that's not good either because there's a reason for that.
Yeah, the president and the people around him think like, oh, wow, she's not very competent, so we're not going to listen to her. We're going to let her be in charge of the three countries in the Northern Triangle. By the way, she claims she wasn't the borders. Okay, well, you weren't the borders, so what were you in charge of? I was in charge of trying to limit the flow of people from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Well, how'd that go?
Yeah.
Terribly, because 10 million of them decided to come across the border. So I'm not quite sure what she did accomplish. in the 3.5 years.
We heard a lot of fear-mongering last night, David Urban, and everybody from Shapiro to Waltz to everybody else. You know, Trump's going to take away this, take away that. I mean, it's really this dystopian America that they paint, and also acting like he's still in charge. It's time to turn the page on Trump. I mean, he's not president.
He hasn't been president for 3.5 years. Listen, I think they mentioned Trump 285 times yesterday or something. They mentioned the border like four, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. Listen, Rich, when you have no policies to run on, right? When you have nothing substantive to run on or say, like, just bash Trump, right? Kamala Harris has become this, like, she's like this empty vessel that everybody pours all their TDS into, right?
Trump derangement
syndrome. Yeah. And then they like channel it via her. She's got no policy. She's got nothing. She's joyful.
What do you expect her speech is going to? I mean, listen.
I've heard they're going to talk about her plan for immigration. I almost choked. I said, her plan for immigration? Are you kidding me? Like, her plan? What has she been doing the past 3.5 years? Literally, I don't know what she's going to say. This is what I'm doing in immigration.
Why haven't you done it?
Or this. How about this? You still got 5 months. Start tomorrow. Like,
yeah.
Donald Trump had a great, great, great line in Bedminster last week on one of his pressers where he said, you know, your day one was 3.5, because she keeps saying, I'll be ready on day one. Your day one was 3.5 years ago, lady. Right? Like, you do not get it. Like, this isn't like Groundhog Day where you get a redo every day. She's burning through her opportunities.
Excellent reference, Groundhog Day, of course, the Pennsylvania classic.
Punxsutawney crosses. You know. It's more on our side of the state than yours, but
it's all right.
By the way, I did like on the roll call, I hope you noticed this, they played like, they had two songs for Pennsylvania, right? They had Black and Yellow, right, for the Steelers, and they had, I can't remember what the Philly song was. Do you guys recall?
Did you remember the song they did? No.
They had like a Philly song. They had like two, they had to split up the state so they wouldn't. It's like the old, remember in the back in the day when during World War II they had the Steagles?
That's right.
The Steagles, the Steeler Eagles, because they couldn't field the team because of the war.
Had to combine them.
That's always my fantasy football team name.
Is it really?
Yeah, I always pick the Steagles.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's good. And by the way, have you had a Chicago hot dog yet since you've been out here?
I'm trying to live, Rich. You trying to kill me?
Yeah, I want your spot on CNN.
I want to live. I'm trying to keep my cholesterol down, right? I'm eating like salads and like nuts and fruits and...
There was a time when I was reading this political piece. They said, you know, there's a time when Democrats tried not to talk about abortion. I kept thinking about, you know, Bill Clinton, 1992, comes out and says we want to keep abortion safe, legal, and rare. They haven't shut up about it this entire week. And the lie last night that Waltz said that Trump would impose a national abortion ban, even had to go on Fox News this morning and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing
that. It's such a lie, right? This is the problem. This is the problem here. Like, if we want to have a debate about, let's have a marketplace of ideas, a real debate. But you can't get up there and say, this is the Project 2025 is the blueprint for Donald Trump's administration. I was with the president on Saturday. He and I talked about it. I can't tell you what he said because it would just be one giant bleep, right? I learned that yesterday. Sorry for the tech guys who had to bleep me out.
That's all right. We're happy to do it.
But so
keep your hand on the dump button, Jimmy, just in case.
Well, I promise. I'm trying hard, Jimmy. So, you know, when Trump responded, I talked to him about 2025. He said, look, I don't know who these these ideas are. Some of these ideas are crazy. I'm not embracing this. This is a bunch of people's ideas. Unless it comes from Donald Trump's mouth, like, do not believe what people are selling you. And so this abortion stuff, you know, Richard, you're right. I said to people, I said this on CNN. I've said this repeatedly on other outlets. This is, you know, lots of African-American women, lots of abortion, right? They must find those. That's what's going to motivate their base. That's what they need to turn out. That's great. But, you know, as James Carville said, maybe we talked about this, you know, you got Philly, Pittsburgh, and Alabama in between. I'm not seeing a lot for the Alabama part of our state, right? Like, there's not a lot of guys up there with Bass Pro hats on and, you know, going to Cabela's and talking about the Steelers or the Eagles or, you know, Flyers, the Penguins. And there's not a lot of, there's not a lot of alpha males in this building, right? And, like, I don't mean that. I do mean that. I do mean that in the most disparaging way.
It's true, though. I mean, you know, the beta male thing, they even made, I think it was Dana Bash who made that comment last night, right? You know, the low testosterone men or whatever
it's true. It's true.
I was joking about Doug Emhoff being, he'll be known as B-Modus, the beta male of the United States of America. You know,
Good. You should trademark that.
I should
quickly, because I'm sure that's going to be a bunch of guys going to be selling those shirts tomorrow on the internet. And you're going to be like, darn it, I should have. Should have got that trademark.
But there's a good point there to that. I mean, we heard a lot of millionaires, and we heard a billionaire last night come out and talk about how hard it is in America.
Yeah.
Well, but I didn't hear a lot of common people, you know?
Listen, it is the, you know, Chris Cuomo pointed it out. He said, look, they're down here on the floor. They're all talking about railing against, you know, corporate greed and everything. And you look up at the boxes, they're all paid by corporations. And all the money that the DNC solicited from corporations. So it's the duality of the political beast. But here, it's a little bit more ironic than most, right? Because the hate, you know, I thought the funniest day point of the moment was Bernie Sanders up there wanting to, like, say we're going to eviscerate all these billionaires. And then, ladies and gentlemen, you know, Governor Pritzker. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like the worst timing. I'm like, who's doing this?
Bernie goes, billionaires are the worst. And Pritzker comes out and goes, I'm a real billionaire.
Yeah.
And Trump's not. And then somebody else comes out and says, and Trump's a billionaire. It's like, could you people figure out what your talking point is?
I love the Obamas railing against generational wealth. They're like, like, really, guys? Like,
right.
Are you that tone deaf? You're not really.
Your daughters never have to work again, and their kids never have to work again.
And I'm sorry that your gardener's waking you up with your leaf blower. Sorry, President Obama.
Well, they'll ban those. So,
well, yeah. Listen, they're president. I don't know. I think on Martha's Vineyard they have to have electric leaf blowers. So I don't know. They don't even have gas powered ones. So he probably needs somebody writer put that in because he probably hasn't heard a leaf blower in like 10 years. Lives in all those communities with gas. You know, no, gas powered's taboo.
David Urban's with me, of course. CNN contributor, former chief of staff to our inspector, and senior advisor to President Donald Trump all the way back to 2016, and still going, helping him win Pennsylvania. Well, look, I mean, you've won statewide elections, including Trump's in 2016. You helped them do that. The energy issue still, I mean, they're still running away from this. Shapiro, who I know you have great respect for him, but yesterday he was at the Politico Grill, and he's talking about this, and he goes, oh, yeah, it's going to be fine, you know, Kamala Harris, it's all good, it's all fine, just like his relationship with John Fetterman, it's all fine, it's all good. I mean,
he did have a good line about it. He said, ask Fetterman's comms director. Oh, yeah, but she may not tell you whatever that line is about.
She may not know.
He's got a new comms director. Yeah. It's pretty funny. Listen, I like Josh a lot, but he's trying to paper over this gigormous hole in their platform, where she's the queen of the Green New Deal, right? Loving EVs, and then somebody slips a piece of paper under your door one night saying, psych, I'm now for fracking, right? Like,
yeah, I heart fracking. She's got a T-shirt that says that tonight.
Until she stands up someplace in the Commonwealth, presumably like on a wellhead out in southwestern Pennsylvania, I'll take her to one. I'll give her the platform. She can explain to us how she's had this conversion on the road to Damascus that now she embraces fracking.
Yeah.
She thinks it's cool. I think it's political expediency, the worst kind of duplicitousness that people in Pennsylvania will see right through. I think, you know, Jen O'Malley Dillon yesterday was out, maybe Politico at the Grill as well, saying about how they don't really have a super clear path to 270, that Trump's still ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right, because they know that when they start explaining these things, right, when they have to start trying to explain their policies, which they have none, people are going to ask them tough questions. They're going to come up really short. And, you know, look, Kamala Harris will give a good speech tonight. She's on a teleprompter. She can read it. She's a smart woman. But when she's got to answer questions, right, questions about complex policy issues, which she's had, like, she's on both sides of all these issues, right, fracking, guns. I mean, somebody, Van Jones, was telling me this morning, she's really a conservative, David. She was a conservative when she was...
I'm sorry. Tell me that right before I take a sip of water? I almost spit it all over you.
Well, this is what he said. He said she was a conservative when she ran in Northern California, there in San Francisco. She didn't get along with the progressive community. I said, wow, I guess that was news to her colleagues in the Senate, where she was ranked the most liberal senator other than Bernie Sanders. And that's news to the voters who watched her in 2019 and 2020 run the most progressive campaign, you know, getting rid of, your health care. She's like, oh, just get rid of it. You're going to have single-payer system. Single-payer system is getting code for government-run health care.
Right.
You know, if you're working in the oil and gas industry, well, you're just going to have to, quote-unquote, transition. Now, that doesn't mean from male to female, I hope.
Rule nothing out with this party,
yeah,
David.
Exactly. Well, the transition, I think she was saying, was like, you're going to have to find another job. Well, good luck. Good luck if you're working your entire life. If you're a welder or a pipe fitter.
What if you like doing those jobs, right? I mean, people have a right to work the kind of job they want in this country.
You know, guess what? Pennsylvania is like sitting on an incredible supply of natural gas that can help our country and the world for the foreseeable future. And these people, I mean that in a pejorative fashion, people that, who embrace this Green New Deal at all costs, you know, they're just, they want to deny everyone a chance to work, like you're saying, and a chance for us to have, like, clean energy. Like, well, gas is clean.
You're damn right it is. And it's what, our biggest industry in the state besides agriculture? I mean, it's kind of important for our state. But let's think about what Van Jones is saying here, because what I hear him saying is she's politically expedient.
Well, that's what I said to him. I said, she's on every side of every issue. So, like...
So she'll just go with the wind?
Yeah, who's going to show up? That's what I'm interested in. People, it's like, what are you waiting to see? I'm like, I'm waiting to see who shows up tonight. Is it the super liberal Kamala Harris, who was rated, you know, other than Bernie Sanders, the most liberal senator? Is she the Kamala Harris that embraces, you know, the government stealing your guns from you? Or is she the Kamala Harris that's now, like, the Democratic leadership, that, you know, the blue dog Democrat that you wouldn't, that would, you know, that you wouldn't recognize? So... I'm not quite sure. It's going to be interesting to hear what she says and try to listen without laughing.
David Urban, I always appreciate your time, your thoughts. I'd be remiss, though, if I did not bring up with you one of the other things that I think has been a consistent theme throughout this week, and that is Israel. I mean, the Democrat Party. I felt bad for Josh Shapiro because I know that, you know, a lot of people think that they passed him over because he's Jewish. And I know that your colleague Van Jones had said that initially, though he might have walked it back. I don't know. All I kept thinking last night when Shapiro was speaking was, I'm glad they didn't pick him. I'm really glad that they went with Tim Walz.
Oh, he's a talented guy.
Well, yeah, and he's a great speaker.
I gave somebody the phone yesterday and I said, who do you think this is speaking? Like, it sounds like Barack Obama. I'm like, yep, that's Baruch Obama right there going on. Baruch Shapiro, right? I mean, when you listen to him speak, you I don't know if you've seen that mashup where they put Obama's face in Josh's voice. Indescribable. You'll never see him in the same room together. Kind of thing, right?
Maybe it's CGI, you know, that's possible.
Josh is very gifted. He's a gifted orator, gifted politician.
Where has Israel been during this convention?
It's inconvenient.
Right? Yeah.
That's where it's been. It's been inconvenient for them to talk. I was outside listening last night to a group of pro-Palestinian protesters who were sitting outside here. I was listening to them talk, and they are completely unsatisfied with their party inside this building. Mm-hmm. And I think that will reflect in the polls coming up. But listen, the Democrat Party has to make a decision. Do you stand with Israel? Or do you stand with the terrorists? I mean, it's pretty simple. It's a binary choice.
Yeah.
Look, I feel sorry for the Palestinian people who are suffering. Absolutely. But they've got a choice to make, too. You can reject the Hamas terrorists who put you in this terrible situation, kick them out of your neighborhoods, you know, kick them out of your lives, and embrace peace. Right? If Hamas wanted to end this all, they could release the hostages and accept a peace deal, right? Except they won't, because that's not what they want. They want to end the state of Israel as we know it. They want to end anybody who does not agree with their bizarre future of the world. They want to end your life. If you're a Zionist, they'll kill you. They don't care if you're Israeli or not. They don't care if you're Jewish or not. They don't want you to exist. And that is just an evil that we haven't seen since kind of, you know, Adolf Hitler days. And so for people to say, well, we want to hear their voices, I don't want to hear their voice.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to hear. We surrender. Hear the hostages. That's what I like to hear. And listen, again, we talked about this yesterday. Kudos to our junior senator for being so strong on this and such a strong voice for Israel, taking a lot of grief from his party, taking a lot of grief. But he is standing strong with Israel, and I got to admire him for that. It's not an easy place for him. And so good for John Fetterman for doing that. And listen, Josh has been very strong on it, right? He's been in a very strong position. He's, you know, gotten beaten back on this, like you said. Who knows whether it contributed to him not being the VP pick? I will say this. There would be a lot more protesters outside if Josh Shapiro was on the ticket. Yeah. We all know that. We all know it's factual.
And then Obama, I mean, Biden goes off script the other night and says, you know, the protesters outside make a lot of great points. And then I heard that was off script.
Yeah. Well, they don't make any great points. Here are the points they should make. The people who committed 10/7 are criminals, right? Mm-hmm. They're terrorists. We will not negotiate with them because they're terrorists. We do not negotiate with people who kill, rape, mutilate, women, children. People want to live a peaceful existence. These people are terrorists, and they need to be dealt with as such, and they don't get to have a voice. You don't get to have a seat at the table if you're a terrorist. You don't. That's not how the world works.
All right, last question for you, David Irving. I know you got to get back on national TV because you're a big shot. You know, I appreciate you giving time to your local radio
station.
Listen,
I loved Rich Scioli for years, man, for years. I remember I called you from the Air Force One.
Yeah, you and Kellyanne Conway.
You're like, what? I'm like, hey, we're about to take off.
No, you guys were in the air.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Guys were in the air. I could barely hear you at first. It's like, is this a joke? Tomorrow, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to get out of the race.
Okay, I think it's
Bobby
important.
Is going to back Trump.
I love it.
Think this helps?
Hell yeah. Oops. Sorry.
You could say hell. Okay. Sorry. Right. Hell's all right. You get a pass.
I don't know. FCC, why don't they change their thing yet? So listen, I think Bobby Kennedy is welcome in the party. Listen, have you ever listened to the guy? If you take back, you know, just again, it's incredible because people just, the media paints people in such ways that if you're just the average person, casual, everyone's life is busy, right? You're raising your kids. You're working hard. So you just get little snippets in your life, right? And if you just listen to the media without listening to Kennedy, you think he's some lunatic, right? Mm-hmm. I sat one because I was on. I followed him on Aaron Burnett's show one evening, and so I listened to what was amounted to a 30-minute interview uninterrupted. He's an incredibly bright guy. Listen, he's got some crazy ideas, said some crazy things in the past, but you know the fact that one of the things he said is. 56% of Americans can't put their hands on $1,000. So when the check engine light in your car comes on, that's a crisis for you, right? Mm-hmm. Crisis for your family. We need to think about that, right? Americans need to think about that. When people are going to pull the lever for Democrats, they're taking more money out of your paycheck every month. Let's think about that, people. When you want more money in your pocket, because you'll have them in the Trump administration. He talks about diabetes and the battle for obesity in America. And how we spend more money on diabetes drugs than we do on defense, and how all these kids today, because we don't have gym programs and they have poor nutrition, they're overweight and they're obese, and so we need to do things to address. I mean, he's a smart guy, a lot of good ideas, so he is welcome in the party, and I hope that his voters will consider voting for Trump, not staying home. We need them in the race. We need them on our team. And so, look, in a state like Pennsylvania, where we're going to win by, tens of thousands of votes, not hundreds of thousands of votes. We need all those Kennedy voters. We need them on our team. Join up with us. We need you. Let's link arms and change the world.
Well said, my friend. Yeah. Well said. David, how can everybody follow you on social media?
Listen, follow me. I've got an anemic social media account. It's at davidjurban.com.
Follow him.
It's funny. It's the last thing you correctly pointed out. I woke up this morning. I was on super late last night. I was on till 1. I agreed to do it. I thought they meant 1 p.m. this afternoon. Then they said, no, it's 1 a.m. So, oh, boy, I didn't remember what I agreed to. So, anyhow, I did a hit at 1 a.m. I woke up this morning. I saw that the Trump War Room had tweeted it, and then Don Jr. retweeted it. So, I've got some good content on there.
Good.
So follow me. Happy to keep you entertained.
David J. Irvin, always a pleasure, my friend.
Rich, it's always good, man.
I wish
I could be around a lot. I wish I was in Philly. I'd come by all the time.
Anytime you want.
I'll come back and tell our own Spectre story someday.
You can do that, too.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
We may have to wait till after November
for that. Exactly. Yeah, we'll get some free time. By the way, he was a great guy. And I always think this. I'll let you go. I always think, I wish he was around today because I'd love to hear his perspective on a lot of things. He was a great, great mentor to me. Just a great man and a great treasure for the Pennsylvania.
Well, would he see any room for himself in this Democrat Party today?
The good part about Arnold Spector is I always said he was an independent guy. I should have registered as independent, been an independent, because he really was an independent voice for Pennsylvania. He was a very smart guy. He was always in kind of the right spot at the right time, really made the most of his representation of Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvanians are better off for it. And I just miss him. I miss the guy, and I miss now his wife passed away. Joan passed away. He was a really sweet woman, and got a lot of admiration for the Spector family. So,
well, I'm glad the Trump campaign has tapped my friend.
Okay,
to
thanks,
help them.
Rich. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Yeah. We'll be right back live from the Democrat National Convention here in Chicago. Don't go away.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, Matt, can you set it up for us?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm on the air right now. Hang on one second. I can't hear you when I got the headphones on. Let me play a clip for you. This is Donald Trump was asked a question about if RFK Jr. endorsed him. It's cue up cut number one. That is the rumor that's going to happen tomorrow. I just talked to David Irvin about that if you missed it. Here is the former and future president of the United States. Cut number one. Got it, Jimmy? Jimmy.
So I've known him for a long time. He's a, as you know, he's a little different kind of a guy. Very smart guy. He's a very good person. If he endorsed me, I would be honored by it. I would be very honored by it. He really has his heart in the right place. He is a respected person. Women love some of his policies, and I guess some people don't like some of his policies. But overall, I thought the Democrats, he was a Democrat. I don't know what he is right now, but he was a Democrat. They treated him very badly. I think he would have, you know, he goes around saying he would have beaten Biden in the primary. I think there was a good chance. What they
hey, Matt, Trump is speaking right now, so I'm going to go to
him. Biden. They really were harsh and threw him out.
Here, let's pot it down. But I'm going to come back to this, but President Trump is speaking right now in Cochise County, Arizona, down at the border, talking about the job numbers, among other things. Let's take a listen.
And they did come out, and I really, the whistleblower or whoever it was that got them to have to do it. Somebody today, a high official said, well, we don't really believe those numbers because Trump gave them. I didn't give them. I got them from the administration, from the Labor Bureau. And these are the stats that were just let out, in fact, officially. I mean, they just came out. They were released in, officially released. Those are official numbers. Has nothing to do with me. I just happen to be playing the role of a reporter for a change. But I hope you're going to do something with it because I think it's a serious thing. It's the same as everything else. And I'm so glad that we decided to do this. It's a little dangerous to do. I hate to tell you, you guys are in danger with the kind of weaponry that we have, but I felt it was important to do. And this kind of stuff that they put up to shield us, I'm going to make you feel not so good. It doesn't mean a thing compared to what comes through there, but at least they can't see you. But it's dangerous territory, and these people have an unbelievable courage. The Border Patrol, ICE, the police, local law enforcement, unbelievable. I don't even know how they do it. They talk about, I was courageous. These people are courageous. They go through this every day. And the amount of horrible injuries sustained in fights and shootings are just incredible. Not reported, but incredible. We're here today on the southern border in Arizona where Comrade Kamala Harris, I call her comrade because she is a radical left Marxist. She wants open borders. She wants our country. I don't understand why anybody would want it, but she wants our country to be open to the world's criminals so they can come in and rape and pillage and do whatever they have to do. But she's the most radical left person who has ever run for high political office in our country's history. And by the way, the governor, who's done a poor job as governor, Minnesota, Waltz, he's done a poor job, very poor job. His numbers are horrible. People are fleeing his state. I love his state. We should have won his state twice, but a lot of hanky-panky goes on there. Hasn't been won since 1972. Richard Nixon was the last one to win it. But every time I go in there, we have massive crowds and everything's good, but nobody seems to be able to win it, so I know why we didn't win it. People don't like to talk about it. But he's a horrible governor, has bad job numbers, bad numbers for leaving, a lot of people leaving the state. And he's insisted, he put a bill, I'm sure the sheriffs would be very happy when they hear this. He signed a bill fairly recently where boys' bathrooms have to have tampons in boys' bathrooms. I don't even like to bring this subject up, but it's a subject you have to hear about. That's what he wants. He's a radical left guy who lied like hell last night, and she'll lie tonight. We're doing a review of her tonight on Truth because she'll lie just like the rest of them lied. They talked about what I said about soldiers. I never said anything. I love our soldiers. They made the story up. It was fiction. We had 26 people countering it, but nobody cares. They made up everything, so many different stories. They made up about Project 25. They've been told officially, legally, in every way, that we have nothing to do with Project 25. They know it, but they bring it up anyway. They bring up every single thing that you can bring up. Every one of them was false. He brought them up. But they've unleashed a deadly plague of migrant crime on our country by not doing their job. And all of that plank and all of that very expensive wall. It's also got tremendous electronic capability inside of it. It's got wires for cameras and everything else that you can have. It's the Rolls Royce of walls, I can tell you. It's very hardened steel outside, 7,000-pound concrete inside, and rebar inside of the concrete. All different, all very hard to get through. And it's sad to see it sitting here. We have crime going on up the road. In this direction, it's as far as you can see is wall. We have no problem there, but they come in where they refuse to put it up. That was when I first realized that they want open borders. I thought nobody could be so foolish or stupid to want open borders and have the world's criminal population pour into our country. That's what's happening. But it shattered so many families' lives and stolen so many incredible young lives. And it's also really badly hurt our black population and our Hispanic population, because these people are taking their jobs. The jobs now are down, way down for the black population and the Hispanic population, because we have millions of illegal aliens that are poured into our country. They've taken the jobs of African Americans and Hispanics. And that was obvious to me. Next is going to be unions. You watch. The unions are going to start going wild, because those jobs are going to be taken too. We're honored to really be here with these incredible people, and in particular with some grieving families. And this is a group of people that I've gotten to know. They're incredible people. They've lost a loved one, and thousands of others are out there, and they are grieving also. But they're not out with you and sitting in this hot sun. I will say this, that at least it gives us a good reason. We're doing something for those incredible people that we'll be talking about very shortly, because we can't let it happen to other people. We can't let what you're going through happen to other families. And you know what you're going through, as we discussed, nobody's ever seen anything like it. All for no reason whatsoever. And these are hardened criminals pouring into our country. And then they always say, Sheriff, oh, the illegal immigrants don't commit crimes like people that live here. It's so wrong. They don't report them, but it's so wrong. They make our criminals look like babies. They make our criminals look like babies. That's about the only thing good. Our criminals all of a sudden don't look so tough to us, right? These are the roughest people, and they're the roughest people from all over the world. Their jails are being emptied from all over the world. The criminals are being taken from their cities. And by the way, their crime rates are way down. Their crime rates came way down. Venezuela, all of these countries, their crime rates are down. Their prison population's down. Soon they won't have any prison population, because 100% of it will be in our country. With the statement, if you ever come back, we will kill you. That's the statement they tell them. If you ever come back to Venezuela and other countries, we will kill you. But it's all over the world. The Congo in Africa. Many prisoners let go from the Congo in Africa. Rough prisoners. All over Europe they come, from all over. Rough sections, the jails. You have to see, jail populations are way down. So we've done a lot of trips to the border over the years and told a lot of stories about border victims, including the stories of the amazing angel moms who have never been appreciated. They're incredible women, what they've gone through. They're going through a similar
thing. This is former President Trump speaking at the border. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll come back and hear a little bit more about this. But I do have to keep on schedule here. We got a lot. It is our final day here. But we'll come back, and hopefully we'll take some questions. The big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VANARIA, VanariaDental.com. And I want to thank my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding for their incredible support and the great work they've done in my home. You know, I can tell you that when it comes to your home, protection and peace of mind are paramount. That's why Emmons is your go-to contractor for roofing, siding, and windows. Your home will not only look stunning from the curb, but will also be energy efficient, secure, and ready to withstand the elements. With Emmons, you know you're getting top quality materials and the finest craftsmanship in the area. So, whether it's a durable, lifetime warranted Owens Corning roof that stands up to severe weather, siding that keeps your home insulated and looking sharp, or new windows that blend functionality with style, Emmons has you covered. And because Stephanie and Matt know that times are tough for many people, they're offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacement. So don't wait. Choose the company that I've used in two different homes over the course of 8 years. That's Emmons. 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677. Or check out their website at emmonsroofing.com. Upgrade your home with confidence today with Emmons Roofing and Siding. And make sure you tell them I sent you.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, we're continuing along here live from the Democrat National Convention. President Trump is speaking right now. We're going to go back into that, but I'm waiting for him to take some questions. We have a lot of audio from last night I want to get to as well. So we're monitoring the president's speech, but he's basically saying right now, you know, Harris has overseen the border invasion. I may have a guest on. I may actually have a Democrat who wants to come on my show, a friend of David Urban's, so, and a West Point guy who is the Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security under this administration. So I'll ask him flat out, you know, how can you guys justify what's going on at the border? I'll keep it civil because I'm a gentleman. As you know, Mama Zioli's listening, I know, and Mama Zioli texted me and said she loves David Urban. I told David Urban that, and he was grateful. He was appreciative of that. But I have a lot to play up. First of all, I want to play for you a clip last night of Governor Tim Walz. Now, the Midwestern goofball, I was calling him the Midwestern doofus, either way works. This guy, we're going to cue up cut number four, Jim, okay? This guy has got a lot of nerve, I'm telling you, man. He comes out last night and he says, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make. I want to remind you of something. During COVID, Tim Walz set up a hotline for people to rat out their neighbors. That's right. He set up a hotline where you could call up and you could rat out your neighbors. So if your neighbors were having a party, say, and they had more than the state amount of people, like 10 people, whatever it was, you could drop a dime on them, all right? But we're supposed to believe this guy really is sincere when he says to everybody to mind your own damn business. And this is how Democrats are. They decide for you when it's your body's autonomy. You know, only matters with abortion. That's the only time they ever scream about freedom. Everything else they want to control, from what you eat to where you go to whether or not you can play sports. And you better have your COVID shots and everything else. And during COVID, these people locked people in their homes. And they killed people in nursing homes. And Walz was at the center of this. You know, so the nerve of this guy to say this last night, cut number four.
Because in Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make. And even if we wouldn't make those same choices for ourselves, we've got a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
You don't mind your own business. No, mind your own business unless your neighbors have 11 people over. Then call up our state hotline and drop a dime on them, and we'll have the police come and shoot paintballs at them. That's not mind your own business. This guy's full of it. These people, they decide when you have freedom and when you don't. They are so full of it. You know what else they're full of, too? Saying that they saved democracy. So Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, who came out last night, she had a piece of toilet paper under her shoe. That was the best part of the entire convention so far. Pelosi comes out, the vampiric one, with a piece of toilet paper under her shoe. Now, don't be misled here. Vampires do not use the bathroom. I know this for a fact. They do not use the bathroom. What the vampiric one was doing was cleaning up blood from her meal. And it accidentally dropped down and she stepped on it. But this is Pelosi, who, remember, literally was engaged in a coup. According to journalist Seymour Hersh, who's a brilliant guy who exposed how the United States of America was complicit in the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline along with Ukraine, Pelosi and other top Democrats threatened Biden with the 25th Amendment to force him to drop out of the race. And despite this, Pelosi says she's actually the one who cares about democracy. All right? And she goes on about the January 6th nonsense and the usual nonsense. They literally shivved the president of the United States in the back. They did that to this guy and shoved him off the stage. That's what they did. Don't forget what these people did to Joe Biden, all right, because they knew he was going to lose. Barack Obama getting up there and going on about his great friend Joe and what a great decision he made picking him as his running mate. Please, how stupid do these people think we are, that we don't know what they did? Not a single Democrat primary voter, think about this now, voted for their Democrat nominee for president. Not a single one. And yet we're supposed to believe these people care about democracy. Give me a freaking break. Cut number nine. Cut nine.
January 6th was a precious moment for our democracy. Never before had a president of the United States so brazenly assaulted the bedrock of our democracy, so gleefully embraced political violence, so willfully betrayed his oath of office. Let us not forget who assaulted democracy on January 6th. He did.
He did.
But let us not forget who saved democracy that day. We did.
We did, yeah. Let us not forget who didn't call for the National Guard. You did.
And
let us not forget
God
who was in charge of security of the Capitol building.
We had a Democratic House of Representatives then.
Yeah. Let us not forget who was in charge of Capitol, the security on January the 6th, and that's you. Your vampiricness, that's you. All right? So you can have your fangs out all you want. We know the truth. And don't stand there and tell us about democracy. Give me a freaking break, all right? Oh, by the way, I gotta mention you. There's this clip that's gone very viral. And I knew this was a joke when I heard it the first time. I just knew that this is too good to be true. You know, I mean, the guy is great. It's a comedian. He's actually going to be on the show tomorrow. But guess who's not going to be? Me. It's not my fault. I wanted to be, but the flight got changed, and now I got to fly back tomorrow. So I had to call up Opelka. Opelka's coming in tomorrow. There's no way I could do the show and get home. It just doesn't work out timing-wise. That's okay. It's all right. We'll be okay. But this comedian spoke to the BBC dressed up as a total lefty whack job, and his actual name, he's going to be on with Opelka tomorrow, so let me pull it up for you so you can know that this is a joke before I get to it. His name is Alex Stranger. Alex Stranger. He's going to be on at 3:30 tomorrow on my show. The nerve of Opelka to book him for my show without my consent. This guy, I'm telling you, Opelka is dead to me. I personally think he's dead to me. And I know he's going to be in for me all next week because I'm on vacation. But let's be honest, he's dead to me.
Why? What did Mike do?
I just told you what he did. He booked this comedian on my show. He scooped me on my own show. What if I wanted to have the guy on?
Well, I don't know. He's being kind enough to fill in for you tomorrow because you have more flight issues.
I'm sorry, what is this? We don't have the 13th Amendment? It's not slavery. We are paying the guy. Not much. Yeah, basically slave wages, but still.
Who wants to work on a Friday in the summer, though?
Well, I was going to. But then they change my flight.
You have the worst luck with flights.
Oh, I really do. They change it twice on Sunday, and now they change it. I was going to fly home tonight, but now they change it to tomorrow, and it's not going to work. So, anyway, this is, what number is this now? I have this now. This is, what'd I do with it, Matt? Cut 32. This is a man at the DNC convention who declares he's a proud white dude for Kamala Harris. This is great. Cut 32.
What brought you on here today? No, listen, my name is Noah Shorts. I use he, they pronouns. Like, I'm just really excited that we have, like, the first black woman that could be the president of the United States. And, you know, like, my wife, right, we're in a polyamorous relationship. The lover that my wife took is African-American. And, like, I've learned so much about the struggle that people of color go through as a result of my wife's boyfriend. And so I'm excited to really do my part to show solidarity for my marginalized communities. And, like, the best way to do that is to get the first woman of color to be the commander-in-chief, and I'm really excited. I'm so pumped.
Were you this pumped and excited when Joe Biden was the nominee?
I mean, listen, like, I would vote for a corpse over voting for Donald Trump because he's a disgusting fascist white supremacist pig. But now, like, you know, we get to really make history. We have, you know, like I said, we have the first woman of color to be president of the United States, and, like, you know, our country, it was founded on the values of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And in Kamala Harris, there's nothing embodies those values more than a Kamala Harris presidency. So I'm pumped. Like, I'm ready. You know, I am so excited. I'm a proud white dude for Kamala Harris, baby. Let's go. Woo!
Have you any excitement at a Democratic event like in this stadium? Or?
No, listen, this is amazing. You know, like, you can't generate. I couldn't see any more excitement? Like, the only way there could be any more excitement is if, you know, maybe you had, like, an artist or a celebrity performing or opening for Kamala, but no, this is amazing. This is, like, celebrity level of excitement. This is a rock star. And then, you know, like, the thing that I'm the happiest about when it comes to Kamala's presidency, it's the economy. And, you know, I'm really excited about how she finally wants to put a cap on prices at the grocery store. And, you know, like, look, even if price controls, you know, may lead to, like, shortages of food and basic goods, you know, the shortages will lead to rationing. And rationing, that leads to equity. And we need to be a more equitable place in America to dismantle our legacy of white supremacy. So thank you so much for hearing my voice and so many voices like me.
And that was to the BBC, and they thought he was real. And that was an actual clip on the BBC. So this guy totally stumped them, and good for him. He's a comedian, and he'll be on tomorrow, 3:30, with Opelka. Oh, look, Eric Swalwell's in the building, Matt DeSantis.
Your favorite member of Congress. I've never been more
excited. Do you think he'll come on our show and break wind live on the show?
I think there's probably a less than 0% chance, but, oh, man, I have to get a picture
with him. You got to get a picture with the tutor, Eric Swalwell. You got to get him on. President Swalwell! Can we get him? Get him on? No, probably not. No, huh? All right, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm yelling again. I'm getting dirty looks. Thank God it's our last. Hey, they hate me. They hate. Just see, but they're really going to hate me when I start doing Josh Shapiro and King Philip the Unaccountable. Then they're really going to hate. I got the trumpets ready, queued up. All right, we're taking a quick break. We'll come right back. We're live in Chicago at the Democrat National Convention. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app. Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the Odyssey app.
All right, we're continuing along here live from the Democrat National Convention. President Trump is speaking right now. We're gonna go back into that, but I'm waiting for him to take some questions. We have a lot of audio from last night I want to get to as well. So we're monitoring the president's speech, but he's basically saying right now, you know, Harris has overseen the border invasion. I may have a guest on. I may actually have a Democrat who wants to come on my show, a friend of David Urban's, so, and a West Point guy who is the Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security under this administration. So I'll ask him flat out, you know, how can you guys justify what's going on at the border? I'll keep it civil. Because I'm a gentleman. As you know, Mama Zioli's listening, I know. And Mama Zioli texted me and said she loves David Urban. I told David Urban that, and he was grateful. He was appreciative of that. But I have a lot to play up. First of all, I want to play for you a clip last night of Governor Tim Walz. Now, the Midwestern goofball, I was calling him the Midwestern doofus. Either way works. This guy, we're going to cue up cut number four, Jim, okay? This guy has got a lot of nerve. I'm telling you, man. He comes out last night and he says, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make. I want to remind you of something. During COVID, Tim Walz set up a hotline for people to rat out their neighbors. That's right. He set up a hotline where you could call up and you could rat out your neighbors. So if your neighbors were having a party, say, and they had more than the state amount of people, like 10 people, whatever it was, you could drop a dime on them. All right. But we're supposed to believe this guy really is sincere when he says to everybody to mind your own damn business. And this is how Democrats are. They decide for you when it's your body's autonomy. You know, only matters with abortion. That's the only time they ever scream about freedom. Everything else they want to control, from what you eat to where you go to whether or not you can play sports. And you better have your COVID shots and everything else. And during COVID, these people locked people in their homes. And they kill people in nursing homes. And Walz was at the center of this. You know, so the nerve of this guy to say this last night, cut number four.
Because in Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make. And even if we wouldn't make those same choices for ourselves, we've got a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
You don't mind your own business. No, mind your own business unless your neighbors have 11 people over. Then call up our state hotline and drop a dime on them, and we'll have the police come and shoot paintballs at them. That's not mind your own business. This guy's full of it. These people, they decide when you have freedom and when you don't. They are so full of it. You know what else they're full of, too? Saying that they saved democracy. So Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, who came out last night, she had a toilet piece of toilet paper under her shoe. That was the best part of the entire convention so far. Pelosi comes out, the vampiric one, with a piece of toilet paper under her shoe. Now, don't be misled here. Vampires do not use the bathroom. I know this for a fact. They do not use the bathroom. What the vampiric one was doing was cleaning up blood from her meal. And it accidentally dropped down and she stepped on it. But this is Pelosi, who, remember, literally was engaged in a coup. According to journalist Seymour Hersh, who's a brilliant guy who exposed how the United States of America was complicit in the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline along with Ukraine, Pelosi and other top Democrats threatened Biden with the 25th Amendment to force him to drop out of the race. And despite this, Pelosi says she's actually the one who cares about democracy. All right? And she goes on about the January 6th nonsense and the usual nonsense. They literally shivved the president of the United States in the back. They did that to this guy and shoved him off the stage. That's what they did. Don't forget what these people did to Joe Biden. All right? Because they knew he was going to lose. Barack Obama getting up there and going on about his great friend Joe and what a great decision he made picking him as his running mate. Please, how stupid do these people think we are that we don't know what they did? Not a single Democrat primary voter, think about this now, voted for their Democrat nominee for president. Not a single one. And yet we're supposed to believe these people care about democracy. Give me a freaking break. Cut nine.
January 6th was a precious moment for our democracy. Never before had a president of the United States so brazenly assaulted the bedrock of our democracy, so gleefully embraced political violence, so willfully betrayed his oath of office. Let us not forget who assaulted democracy on January 6th. He did.
He did.
But let us not forget who saved democracy that day. We did.
We did, yeah. Let us not forget who didn't call for the National Guard. You did.
And
let us not forget
God
who was in charge of security at the Capitol building.
We had a Democratic House of Representatives then.
Yeah. Let us not forget who was in charge of Capitol, the security on January the 6th, and that's you. Your vampiricness, that's you. All right? So you can have your fangs out all you want. We know the truth. And don't stand there and tell us about democracy. Give me a freaking break, all right? Oh, by the way, I got to mention you. There's this clip that's gone very viral. And I knew this was a joke when I heard it the first time. I just knew that this is too good to be true. You know, I mean, the guy is great. It's a comedian. He's actually going to be on the show tomorrow. But guess who's not going to be? Me. It's not my fault. I wanted to be, but the flight got changed, and now I got to fly back tomorrow. So I had to call up Opelka. Opelka's coming in tomorrow. There's no way I could do the show and get home. It just doesn't work out timing-wise. That's okay. It's all right. We'll be okay. But this comedian spoke to the BBC dressed up as a total lefty whack job, and his actual name, he's going to be on with Opelka tomorrow, so let me pull it up for you so you can know that this is a joke before I get to it. His name is Alex Stranger. Alex Stranger is going to be on at 3:30 tomorrow on my show. The nerve of Opelka to book him for my show without my consent. This guy, I'm telling you, Opelka is dead to me. I personally think he's dead to me. And I know he's going to be in for me all next week because I'm on vacation. But let's be honest, he's dead to me.
Why? What did Mike do?
I just told you what he did. He booked this comedian on my show. He scooped me on my own show. What if I wanted to have the guy on?
Well, I don't know. He's being kind enough to fill in for you tomorrow because you have more flight issues.
I'm sorry, what is this? We don't have the 13th Amendment? It's not slavery. We are paying the guy. Not much. Yeah, basically slave wages, but still.
Who wants to work on a Friday in the summer, though?
Well, I was going to. But then they change my flight.
You have the worst luck with flights.
Oh, I really do. They change it twice on Sunday, and now they change it. I was going to fly home tonight, but now they change it to tomorrow, and it's not going to work. So, anyway, this is, what number is this now? I have this now. This is, what did I do with it, Matt? Okay, cut 32. This is a man at the DNC convention who declares he's a proud white dude for Kamala Harris. This is great. Cut 32.
What brought you out here today? No, listen, my name is Noah Shorts. I use he, they pronouns. Like, I'm just really excited that we have, like, the first
black woman that could be the president of the United States. And, you know, like, my wife, right, we're in a polyamorous relationship. The lover that my wife took is African-American. And, like, I've learned so much about the struggle that people of color go through as a result of my wife's boyfriend. And so I'm excited to really do my part to show solidarity for my marginalized communities. And, like, the best way to do that is to get the first woman of color to be the commander-in-chief. And I'm really excited. I'm so pumped.
Were you this pumped and excited when Joe Biden was nominated?
I mean, listen, like, I would vote for a corpse over voting for Donald Trump because he's a disgusting fascist white supremacist pig. But now, like, you know, we get to really make history. We have, you know, like I said, we have the first woman of color to be president of the United States. And, like, you know, our country, it was founded on the values of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And in Kamala Harris, there's nothing embodies those values more than a Kamala Harris presidency. So I'm pumped. Like, I'm ready. You know, I am so excited. I'm a proud white dude for Kamala Harris, baby. Let's go. Woo!
Have you any excitement at a Democratic event like in the stadium? Or?
No, listen, this is amazing. You know, like, you can't generate. I couldn't see any more excitement. Like, the only way there could be any more excitement is if, you know, maybe you had, like, an artist or a celebrity performing or opening for Kamala. But no, this is amazing. This is, like, celebrity level of excitement. This is a rock star. And then, you know, like, the thing that I'm the happiest about when it comes to a Kamala Harris presidency, it's the economy. And, you know, I'm really excited about how she finally wants to put a cap on prices at the grocery store. And, you know, like, look, even if price controls, you know, may lead to, like, shortages of food and basic goods, you know, the shortages will lead to rationing. And rationing, that leads to equity. And we need to be a more equitable place in America to dismantle our legacy of white supremacy. So thank you so much for hearing my voice and so many voices like me.
And that was to the BBC, and they thought he was real. And that was an actual clip on the BBC. So this guy totally stumped them, and good for him. He's a comedian, and he'll be on tomorrow at 3:30 with Opelka. Oh, look, Eric Swalwell's in the building, Matt DeSantis.
Your favorite member of Congress. Excited.
Do you think he'll come on our show and break wind live on the show?
I think there's probably a less than 0% chance, but, oh, man, I have to get a picture
with him. You got to get a picture with the tutor, Eric Swalwell. You got to get him on. President Swalwell! Can we get him? We get him on? No, probably not. No, huh? All right, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm yelling again. I'm getting dirty looks. Thank God it's our last. They hate me. They hate. Just see, but they're really going to hate me when I start doing Josh Shapiro and King Philip the Unaccountable. Then they're really going to hate. I got the trumpets ready, queued up. All right, we're taking a quick break. We'll come right back. We're live in Chicago at the Democrat National Convention. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.